We're going to be talking about something that is vitally important to the survival of the church, to the survival of men, to the survival of our families and our future. And I'm going to pick on somebody this morning because they have muscles. He already know who I'm talking about. He dropped his head because he was like, man, I guess I'm the only one in here with muscles. Everybody else in here act like they go to the gym, but I go to the gym. Pastor always bothering my muscles. Brother Darrell, can I bother you and bring that chair that's in front of you and bring it up here? Deacon Doug, can I have you be the policeman real quick and come on up here for a second? I love your humbleness, Brother Darrell. Right in front of the podium there for me, sir.
I lock him up now?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're gonna put these zip tie locks on him real quick.
Yeah, you're gonna get out of these.
No, sir, that's the real ones there. Yep. And that's how they go if you want that they go inward so that covers my body.
Yes, sir. In the position.
Yes, sir. Today, God wants to know. Go ahead. If you are a male or a man. We have a world that is full of males, but men are few and far in between. The proliferation of males not maturing into men has set the world on a downward spot with no hope of recovery, with no hope of getting it back into place. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7 says this, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into houses and make captives of silly women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Men, how many of you know that abortions ramped up because of males? If men were in their right place taking care of business, women would not have the option to destroy life. Sex is set apart for marriage. If males would mature into men and follow the laws of God, women would not be put into a position of insecurity that leads to abortion. Men, how many of you know that homosexuality is your fault? If men were at home with the children they created, the enemy would have a hard time confusing boys. But women are left with the responsibility, thus the creation and proliferation of feminine males. Brothers, we can trace everything back to males refusing to become men. And when we refuse to become men, we allow the enemy into our camp to spoil it and take what he pleases. Mark chapter 3 verse 27 explains why I have this man bound. What does it say in Mark chapter 27 verse 3? Chapter 3 verse 27. It says, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first be bound. And then he will spoil his house. I don't know about y'all, but as strong as Darrell is right now, there's not a whole lot he can do about little old me coming into his pockets and taking what he got. I can take his keys and run off with this car, and all he can do is hope that somebody will come along at some point and set him free from the chains that have him bound. I guess you guys can see this is not going to be a typical message. See, it's time out for typical. It's time out for regular every day, and we need to see examples of how we are leaving our homes as men. We're leaving them vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. Following the status quo has gotten us into a place of relaxation. We feel like we have arrived. We have been lulled to sleep thinking that, oh, what a great job I've done. We say 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to ourselves. We say, I have fought a good fight. Oh, I've done a good job. I've finished the race. Everything I can do is done. I've kept the faith. Then we wake up bound and find our home spoiled, our families destroyed, and our futures looking bleak. And in the words of Marvin Gaye, you turn around and you say, what's going on? Well, today I plan to tell us what's going on. And hopefully you have your ears on today and you'll be freed up in a minute, my brother. Hopefully you have you have shut out the world. You shut out all the noise for this time that we have together today. And I pray that we hear what God has to say about the state of man today. Not man as a whole, but I'm talking about men. The state that we are in today, particularly the black man. Before we get started, let's give a simple definition of a man of God. A man of God is someone who listens for and reacts to the voice of God. A man of God is someone who listens to and reacts to the voice of God. Now listen to this, because Exodus 34, verses 23 through 24, and Deuteronomy 16, verses 16 through 17, say that three times a year, God called all the males to a place to give them instruction. But now in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30 through 31, God is saying that he can't find a man to stand in the gap to keep the land from being destroyed. I have to say, what an accusation. What a slap in the face to men. But at the same time, what a truth. This is the all-knowing, all seeing, all powerful God of everything, who says he can't find something that he created. When God says he can't find something, we have a problem. Men, we were given all authority in the earth, but we act like guests in our own homes. We have allowed the wrong people in, and they have spoiled the place that we have called home. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that the devil is searching for whom he can devour. Have we left our homes unprotected? Have we let the enemy in through the back door and don't know it? What do you allow in the ears of your children? What do you allow in the eyes of your children? Music, television, and the internet are the subtle ways that the enemy spoils our home. And men, we're just as vulnerable. Women, I haven't forgotten about you. But today we're dealing with men taking their place in the house. And men, we're won by our eyes, right? So what are you watching? What are you listening to? When you found yourself bound and unable to free yourself, this is when God steps in and shows his strength, not yet, in his weakness. This is when God provides that ram in the bush. See, man, sometimes God allows us to fall deeper into trouble for his divine will to manifest in our lives. And guess what, wives? You have a responsibility to your husbands. Brothers, you have a responsibility to the men that God puts in your life or brings into your life to help them stay on track. And if you find them bound and unable to fight, you have to step up and either free them or take up the fight until they can be set free. In Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, the Bible talks about a virtuous woman. But specifically, verses 23 through 29 describes what she is doing while her husband is away at work. She's not allowing things to slip just because her husband is out working. And because she has things going on, if her husband has to find himself bound, she has the resources to set him free. At this very moment, men, you're being set free. But don't take this freedom lightly. Just as you were easily bound this time, the enemy will attempt to exploit your weakness again. And as he sets you free, take your chair and go back to your seat. And I appreciate you being an example for what happens when the strong man gets bound up in the house. The topic of my message is Adam, where are you at? But I wanted to sub that out with God's missing man. Because the missing man has become our modern day crisis. We're not missing males. We're missing men. So many groups are affected by the missing man. They keep asking the same question over and over and over again. It's the question of the young single lady. It's the question of the abandoned single mother. It's the question of the little boy, the little girl. It's the question of the church. Adam, where are you at? It's the mind-boggling question the man of God has to ponder on a regular basis when he needs to get something done. He needs an outreach started. He needs a campaign spearheaded. Adam, where are you at? It's the question he asks Sunday after Sunday when women and children are present and the men are consistently absent. Adam, where are you at? Our schools and our communities are overrun with disrespectful and unruly children. Crime is at an epidemic state. Child death and suicide is rising at an alarming rate. Little girls are seeking ungodly relationships with males because they didn't have a relationship with their father. And the question rises up again, Adam, where you at? A while ago, while on my way to home, I was riding down the street minding my own business. And y'all heard this before, I passed this elderly lady out there cutting grass. And I continued on my way to the store, but what I saw didn't register with me well. It didn't make me feel good. Imagine seeing your mama out there struggling to cut the grass and people just passing by watching and nobody steps up to give her a hand. So as I left the store, I was thinking to myself, if this lady is still out there, I'm going to offer her some assistance. Well, she was still out there in the heat struggling to cut her grass. Pastor Peggy, this brings you to mind. When you're out there trying to manage the yard, when you're trying to take care of business, and nobody in the house is stepping up to come in and lend a hand. But this woman was struggling, and she was using an old raggedy lawnmower that had been adjusted down to the lowest setting, and there was no way to bring it up, and she was scrubbing the ground with the lawnmower, so it made her task even harder. But I got to back up for a second and set the scene a little bit better. See, as I pulled into the driveway, I noticed the elderly lady had an audience of two young able-bodied females, and they were watching her struggle to cut the yard. And what's worse is there were two little boys about the age of 4 years old watching their grandmother struggle to cut the grass. This is what's being taught to the next generation. There was nothing that these little boys could have done to help, but if Adam was around, this scene never would have happened. If a man would have been in his right place, and not be spreading seed all over the earth and leaving it to manage itself, these situations wouldn't happen. And men, guess what? Being available is not always convenient. I wasn't dressed to cut grass. I was not in the mindset to cut grass. I had on khaki pants, and I had on a nice polo shirt, and I had on a set of sandals. But who was I to say, not now, Lord? Let me go get freshened up and be ready for this thing. Let me go get on the right gear. Who was I to say, I'm not prepared for this right now, Lord? Remember, the definition of a godly man is he listens for and reacts to the voice of God. See, faith without works is dead. You don't only listen, but you react to what he said. See, in our modern society, men have become weak and domesticated. Men have forgotten their place as leaders, and the society is suffering because of it. Women and children are crying out for men, but none can be found. And what's worse, God is asking the question, Adam, where are you? I can recall in the Garden of Eden, when God came down out of the heavens to walk with Adam as he did every day, and Adam was in the bushes cowering with Eve, and God came walking through the garden, Adam, where are you? And Adam was hiding. He said, Adam, what have you done? And Adam, rather than being a man, he decided to put it on the woman. It's the woman that you gave me, God. She took up the tree and she gave of me. And he said, Adam, what have you done? Because I gave you authority. Because I gave you power. Because I told you to teach everything that came behind you my statutes. Adam, where are you? Now, if God can't find Adam, it's no surprise that we can't find him also. We discussed that God is everywhere and that God is all knowing. So he isn't really talking about his location. He's not asking him to drop a GPS coordinate so he can drive up on him. He knows exactly where males are. See, he's asking the question of, are men in their position? Are we leading? And are we leading as God has called us to lead, not as the world has called us to lead? He's asking the question of position today, y'all. Are men in their positions in this house? Are men in their positions in their own homes? Are men in their positions in the workplace? Are men in their positions raising their children? Are men in their positions in the schoolhouse? If they were, we wouldn't have the issues going on in the world. Because children are going to line up when the strong man comes in.
That's right. Come on.
Adam had abandoned his role, his calling, his position. And according to Ezekiel 22, verse 30, when a man abandoned his position, and no man can be found, the land is cursed. God can't seem to find men in America who are willing to stand on his word. And we're watching the systematic failure of America. We're watching the curse come upon this land swiftly. So the need in 2025 is to call males back to being men, as God has defined the man, not as the world defines it. So today I want to talk to you a little bit about the position of a man. The first thing we should know about the position of a man is that it's the priority position. 1 Timothy 2:13 says, God created Adam first, then he created Eve. Notice Adam and Eve were not created at the same time. This has to do with order. God spends almost a whole chapter of Genesis 2 discussing Adam before Eve was even created. God did this because it would be the man that was responsible to God for everything. That's why he didn't come to the garden saying, Eve, Eve. He came looking for who he put in charge. If you're going to be God's man, then you're going to have to accept responsibility for everything he brings behind you. Because you're first. Because as a man, you're the head, you're the guard, you're the blocker, you're the thing that's keeping the enemy out of your home. So God has put you in charge. That's why he gave you broad shoulders. That's why he gave you a broad chest. Because you are to be the one to stand in the gap and keep the enemy from spoiling your home. When God looks at a man, he says, I hold you responsible. So if you are a male, particularly a man, God says, I hold you responsible, even if it's not your fault. See, it wasn't Adam's fault that Eve ate the fruit, because he trained her up. He told her what to do, because she told the enemy what was said. But Adam decided to capitulate and give in, thus the destruction of the world. See, the biggest part of becoming God's man is responsibility, because everything that comes after you is depending on you. Malachi 4:6 says, "And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." So if your world is failing, we can't blame the government. We can't blame our wives. We can't blame our children. God says, it's the man first. So Adam, where are you at? Because God created man's first, he is to function as the foundation. If the foundation fails, everything that's built on top of it will fail. If the foundation is sinking and cracking, everything attached to it is going to crack and going to be in an unsafe environment. Men, foundations aren't pretty. We spend so much time wanting to look good. So much time trying to dress the part. So much time trying to drive the fancy things. Foundations aren't pretty. But they better be solid. They better be strong. They better have some tensile strength. Because what's built on top of it is dependent upon it staying in place. It's dependent upon it being unshakable as it's built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. The man is to be the foundation of the church, not some random ornament that shows up whenever it's convenient. See, we call in sick to church every Sunday, but we go on the man's job sick and with the flu, infecting everybody else. But we won't spend the time and do the work that we need to do to keep our bodies healthy, because we're so worried about running for the man all day, all week, all night, that we're worn out and sickness comes on us so easily. And the church has to suffer for it.
That's right.
For many women in this day and time, this is not a popular message. But our goal today is not to be popular, it's to be biblical, because a lot of women want to be first. A lot of women want to be the lead. A lot of women want to be in charge. And that's out of God's order. And that's how Eve got messed up, because she was out of order. She didn't go back and take the information to her husband first. She decided that I'm smart enough to manage this situation.
All right.
I know better than my husband, even though he told me this is the wrong way to go. I'm going to do what I think is right. And found herself in trouble, and the whole world is suffering.
Amen.
Because her husband chose to follow her.
Yeah.
So men, a lot of us may not have a positive man in our lives as we were growing up. Our fathers may have abandoned us physically or emotionally. And guess what? That's not your fault. But you do have a responsibility to stop it yourself, or the cycle is just going to continue. That's that generational curse we're talking about breaking. See, if you don't make a stand now and stop wallowing in the past of all those hurts, if daddy would have loved me. Oh, if daddy would have showed up at my games. Oh, if daddy wouldn't have left my mama, I wouldn't be this way. Well, pick up the book. Find other role models. Stop making excuses and stand in your place as a man. And watch what God will do in your life when you honor him with your life. You have a father. He's your heavenly father. And he'll say he'll never leave you or forsake you. So how does God's man operate? This is what the ladies need to open their ears for right now. How does God's man operate? Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 reads this way. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it. So it says that God gives man a job. Then he gave man a house. And then God gave man instructions. So ladies, take note to this order. If a man doesn't have the means to get a home, if he doesn't have his finances in order, and if he doesn't have godly instruction, then he is not the man for you. An irresponsible man is not worthy of being a husband, because if he isn't taking care of himself, how in the world is he going to take care of you and yours? How in the world is he going to lead you down the path of righteousness? How in the world is he going to lead you to steal waters? How is he going to protect you from the enemy when he wants to come in and spoil the house?
Amen.
How is he going to lead you to a place of peace if he is not listening to the instructions that God has given him? And check this out, men. Back to God and Adam. Because God gave him a job, we said. We said God gave him a home. But notice God told him to keep it and to dress it. See, he didn't just give him a home and a job. He gave him instructions to be productive. He gave him instructions to expand it. He gave him instructions to grow it. See, man, we have a job in the church that's being neglected. When God told Adam to dress it and keep it, he was telling him to do more with it. Grow this thing. The church is stagnant because men are stagnant. Men aren't in their right place. See, if a real man has a vision, he wants more than he started with. He's not satisfied with stagnation. He's not satisfied with status quo. Would you be satisfied with day after day, year after year on the same job and never getting a raise? You've been working for the same job for 20 years, making $10 an hour, and everybody else around you is growing, and you just sitting there stagnant. No, you step up and step off and find some place that's gonna support your talents and your gifts and grow you. We wouldn't be satisfied because we're expecting growth. Well, God put us here and planted us in this garden called the earth to cultivate it. When is the last time you put some fertilizer in your garden? We're talking about spiritual things. When is the last time you turned over the soil? When is the last time you tilled up that garden, turned the earth over, and maybe added some nutrients to it? Have you attempted to prune some of the branches to help nurture growth in the garden that God has planted you in? What are you doing to honor God's command to be fruitful and to multiply? So the question isn't, are you going to work? The question is, are you productive in the work that you're doing? See, when God gave Adam his home, Eve had not yet been created. God put Adam to work and got him productive. See, man, we can't be sitting back waiting on our wives, waiting on our mamas, waiting on our friends, coming up with every excuse in the book talking about, I need my wife to help with this and to help with that. My mama didn't give me what I needed, so I can't go out there and get a job. Bro, you 30 years old. Get out your mama's house. Go do something with your life. Man up. Stop talking about what mama didn't do and start thinking about what God has already done for you. He gave you hands. He gave you feet. He gave you a good solid mount. He gave you strong shoulders. You should be out there pushing a lawnmower if you can't get a job.
All right.
God has called you to do more than to lay up on these women that the Bible calls silly women.
Right.
Laying up, waiting to be made fools of by these men. Ladies, you should be sick and tired of being the fool for these men.
Amen.
Laying up, doing nothing. Not willing to go to work. Not willing to support their kids. Not willing to do anything but lay up and wait on you to get food stamps. Wait up and lay on you to get Section 8. Lying and cheating and beating the system up. Because they too lazy to step up. I'm okay with status quo. I'm okay with just enough. I'm okay with taking care of him. His mama didn't do a good job with him. You're making a punk. You're making a weak man. You're making a feminine man. And you wonder why your children are feminine. You wonder why homosexuality is proliferating. You wonder why you can't find a man that ain't down low. Because men are absent and women are doing the work to soften up these boys. You can't raise boys with emotions. Now they need a mixture of emotion, but they also need that butt toe up. I was so happy when my son-in-law came back home because I know Elijah ain't gonna be a soft boy. Elijah gonna get that butt toe. Elijah gonna be out there doing work because he believes that a man needs to be a man. Yeah, the baby needs nurturing, but he also needs the firmness and the roughness and the direction and the structure that only comes from a man.
Right.
Because God said, man first, man work, man house, now woman. We got it wrong. Woman work, woman house, get her pregnant, I lay up on her. That ain't God's plan.
Amen.
If that was God's plan, he would have made Eve first.
That's right.
And we would have been soft. That's we'd have been dainty. We'd have been weak. Mm. We'd have been the ones having babies. Mm. Get in your place, men. The calling of a man underneath God is to expand whatever God has put in his hands. In fact, the reason we don't see more out of God is because God sees nothing coming out of us. We have ceased to dream. We have ceased to grow what God has given us. We have abandoned our past, and the enemy has spoiled our land. God expects a man to maximize his potential underneath God. Just like Adam in the garden, a man is supposed to rule and operate under the covering of God. As a man, we should be living in the presence of God, not cowering in the bushes, hiding behind bad decisions that we made.
That's right.
In Adam's job, God told him to keep the garden. Yeah. The Hebrew for keep means to guard and protect. But wait a minute. This is a creation we're talking about. Sin hadn't yet entered the world. So what is he guarding his house from? He is guarding his home from Satan. The enemy had already fallen and was already in the garden, slithering around doing his thing. That can be found in Genesis chapter 3 if you need to find out where that's found.
That's right.
So we see that there will be problems in the home. The enemy's going to try to stir up arguments. He's going to try to cause situations to go. He's going to try to get your focus off of God. He may even use your wife. You see what he did with Eve.
That's right.
There is an enemy at your doorstep, men. And it's your job to keep him out, because you're responsible for keeping the devil out of your home. So provision and protection is what Adam, men, are responsible for. Then God gives Adam another instruction in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 through 17. It says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat it, you shall surely die." God gives Adam his word, his commandment. Why does he do this? Because a male who plans to be God's man must position himself under divine authority, which means God's word has the final say-so in his life. Nobody, and I mean nobody, overrules God.
Amen.
Not even your wife.
That's right.
Not even your mama. Not even your daddy. Not your boss, not your teacher, nobody overrules God. He has the final say so. Because in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, God said, "Because you allowed your wife to overrule me, all hell is now broken loose in your life. The world is now destroyed and on the downward spiral because you chose to choose the wisdom of your wife over the knowledge of Jesus Christ." Because as much as you love her, she is not supposed to overrule God. She's not supposed to be the final authority. You are. The man's job is to oversee the communication and operations of God's word in his own home. Just like Joshua 24:15 says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." There is no debate. There's no vote. There's no democracy when it came to God in Joshua's house. He said, "As for me and my house, it's already decided. We're going to serve the Lord." Notice God's commandment to Adam. The command was a positive command. It was an uplifting command. In our studies, we often highlight the negative. Don't eat from the tree. But the first part of the command was to enjoy everything. It was to maximize everything I've given you. Just don't mess with the one tree. The command goes on to say that the day you eat from it, you will surely die. God said, you can have the oranges, you can have the apples, you can have the grapefruits, you can have the plums, you can have the strawberries, you can have the blackberries, you can have all these different things. Just don't bother that tree over there in the midst of the garden. Pass by it every day because I want you to understand restraint. Pass by it every day because I want you to understand structure. Pass by it every day because I want you to understand obedience. But don't you touch it, because the day you touch it, you're going to die. The day you eat it, you're going to die. God says if you touch it, you eat it, you devour it, you will break relationship with me. That's what that death was. It was a spiritual death. Yes, the body started to decay. Yes, the clock started ticking. But spiritually, that was a separation. God had to put a divider between man and himself at that point. That's when the sacrifices came in. That's when the blood came in. If you notice, God had to slay an animal to clothe man. That started the blood sacrifice process. It was never intended to happen. But because of man's obedience, disobedience, not woman's disobedience, because man decided to give in, the whole world had to be destroyed. So God said, if you do this, you will break relationship with me. A good example of breaking relationship or dying is having an appliance plugged into the wall and then unplugging it. While it's plugged in into the wall, it's alive because electricity is running through it. But once it's unplugged, it's dead. It ceases to function. And what we have today is unplugged males. They have ceased to function because death has entered the equation. Once we unplug ourselves from God, we're no longer alive. We're just dead devices sitting there waiting for an illegitimate jolt to get us moving. Now, what was the issue with the tree of knowledge? Why did God command Adam not to eat of it? Because if Adam was to live and rule the way God had planned, God wanted Adam to operate off of revelation, not reasoning. See, reasoning is why we got in trouble now. It's reasonable to believe that. It's reasonable to think that we can. It's reasonable, but is it godly? All right. Is it biblical? Is it truth? Is it the right way of doing things? It's reasonable. Our reasoning has gotten us down this road. It's reasonable to believe that we can take bodies from Africa and bring them over here and abuse them and make them work for us so we can make money. It's reasonable to believe that, but is it biblical? Is it truth? Is it really okay? But the reasoning said that it was biblical. The reasoning said it was godly because they used the word of God to say that it was okay. That the Bible said, be slaves, be honorable to your master. Slaves, do what the master tells you to do as unto God. But that's not what he was talking about. See, we are the slaves unto Jesus Christ. And we have an awesome master who doesn't beat us, who doesn't abuse us, but he gives to us freely for us to go out and work for him. And we're able to take in some of the benefits. I don't mind being that kind of slave. I don't know about you, but I'll be a slave to the King of Kings any day. God says, don't go out there without me and learn it on your own. One of the problems today with so many men is that we have gotten the world's definition of manhood beat into our heads, and it's messing us up. And because it's messing us up, men are not able to function as God has called them to function. So men end up as burdens rather than blessings. The world teaches us that our title is important. Oh, you a man. We say, I'm the man of the house. That's mine right here. I'm the boss. We want the title without the responsibility. God says, no, you're responsible. I'm coming to you face to face, man to man. See, when a man messes up with his family and she has a strong daddy, he comes and gets in the man's face. And he comes and tell him, when I gave you my daughter, I gave her to you in this condition. And now I come back and I see my daughter raggedy. I see my daughter all tattered. I see her living in squalor. This is not what I gave you. And as a man, I'm holding you accountable to the words that you said in front of me and in front of God, that you're going to do what it takes to support her, to undergird her, to take care of the family that I have given you. So God says the same thing. He says, I'm coming to you, man, because you are responsible. And guess what Adam's job was? He was to make sure God's commandments got transferred to Eve and his family. And based on Genesis chapter 3, it looks like Adam did his job. It seems like Adam drilled it into Eve's head with a vengeance. Because in Genesis 3:3, Eve told Satan that she can't eat of the tree, nor could she touch it. She went a little bit further. She said, I can't eat on it. This man that told me so much about it, I ain't even going to touch it. So if your wife has to ask you if we going to church today, if your wife has to ask you if we're going to pray with the family today, that means that you are not fulfilling the responsibility of spiritually leading your home. A man is to be the conduit that God uses to bring his divine will into his family. Your husband should be the family's first point of reference to what God looks like. Yes, women, you have your own relationship with God. You have your own responsibility to seek God's face. But at the same time, God has a process that he prefers to flow through. This is if you're married. He prefers the man, then the woman, then the family. It doesn't mean that she's second class. This is just God's order. Human reason was never supposed to govern a man. Divine relationship was. It's like us men at Christmas time when the kids get a new toy that we got to put together. We size up the project and we get to work on it. We start trying to put the bike together. And in our own reasoning, we start putting things together without using the instruction, because that's what a man do. We don't need directions. We don't need maps. We don't need none, because we men. We do things. And we finally look up from the disaster that we're assembling, and 2 hours have passed, and we still at the exact same place with parts everywhere. Then our wives come over and hands us the instructions, and she says, is it possible that the toy maker has more experience at assembling toys than you? So I asked the question this morning to us, is it possible that the man maker knows more about manhood than man does? Many of us have come up with the excuse that my wife won't change. We say my children won't change. What book are you using? What book are you looking at? I recall this saying that God gave us all authority in the earth, that we ought to be the head, that we ought to rule our families well, that we ought to love them as Christ loved the church. So why am I saying that my wife won't change? Why am I saying that my children won't change? It's because we become feminine men. It's because we choose to rule cowardly and capitulate and give in, because we truly want to be out there wild and free like them. We don't want to be led by what God has called us to be led by, to live the lives that God has called us to live, because we want our independence. So God is calling on men, and he's asking the question, Adam, where are you at? Men, he's not looking for your location. He knows exactly where you are. He knows your address. He knows every hair on your head. He knows every hair you lost. He said, the Bible says he knows it by name. So he's definitely not lost looking for you. He wants to know, and he wants to see you in your God-given position, in your God-given place. walking this thing out as God has called us to walk out. And we're getting close to the end, y'all, so don't fret. It's a short message, if I do say so myself. But man, I know this may have been a little tough on y'all this morning. Being told that most of us are out of order, that most of us are out of place, that most of us aren't leading in the way that God has called us to lead our families. But men, don't fret, because all is not lost. Just because Adam fell, just because he didn't follow the plan that God called him from, doesn't mean it's over. Because God in 1 Corinthians 15 gives us hope. See, Adam's fall in Genesis made way for the second Adam to come on the scene. And this Adam, he couldn't fail. This Adam couldn't be tricked by the enemy. This Adam couldn't give up ground. This Adam knew how to lead. See, the first Adam, he lost his footing. He slipped, he tripped, and he stumbled and fell. He fell for the okey-doke. He gave in to the wiles of his wife because he didn't trust God. He didn't trust the plan that God had set in motion. And most of all, he didn't trust that God could redeem his wife whom he loved dearly. But the second Adam, y'all, he came ready for war. The enemy thought he had defeated him, but he was wrong. See, the second Adam followed the plan. He stuck to the script. The Bible says the first Adam messed up, but the second Adam blessed you up. The second Adam was able to pick up and walk you right back into what the first Adam gave up. So Adam, you don't have to be like your daddy. You don't have to be like your granddaddy. You don't have to be like your uncles. You don't have to be like those men out there in the world who are living their lives in a negative fashion. You don't have to be like the negative influences in your life. You don't have to let your upbringing cause you to continue to wallow in generational curses that are going to fall onto your children if you don't stand for who Christ has called you to be. See, the last Adam has renamed you, and he's called you the son of a king. He's called you the risen man. He says that you have put the old man down and taking on the new man. And as you take on the image of the one true Christ, and as you take your place as a man, as God has called a man, then he no longer has to ask the question of Adam, where you at? Because you're walking lockstep with him. Because you're out in the marketplace calling on other men to stand up in their rightful place. You're holding men, your brothers, your cousins, your nephews, even your daddies accountable for who they're supposed to be in Christ. And then God can now change what he's doing in the earth, because he no longer has to look for a man to stand in the gap, because men have locked on like they did with Nehemiah, and they're building and they're defending and they're keeping the enemy out from spoiling the camps. Silly women are no longer being led astray because men are standing in the gap. Daughters are no longer being left out there by themselves because men are rising up to stand in the gap. Baby boys are no longer being feminized because men are standing in the gap. Government no longer passes laws that perpetuate destruction of the family because men are standing in the gap. Adam is in his rightful place. And Adam isn't standing for foolishness because he says, as for me and my house, we gonna serve the Lord. Today, I want to know if I have any men in the house. Not males, but I'm talking about men. Men who know their place. Men who aren't afraid to stand in the marketplace by themselves and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Men who aren't afraid to go back into their neighborhoods, back into the communities where they with their friends and say, I stand for Jesus Christ. I'm no longer gonna fall for the enemy's tricks. I'm no longer gonna say that it's weak to be a Christian. I'm no longer gonna put down the young man who's trying to do good in the community. I'm no longer gonna say education is for a weak man. I'm no longer gonna say that mental health is only for people who are weak, but it's okay for a man to go get talked to by another man to get himself whole and healthy. I'm no longer gonna look down on people who are trying to do good. Because if I'm in my place, then I should be growing and expanding the things that God has given me, not proliferating ignorance and violence in my community. Men, when are we gonna take a stand? When are we gonna hold up our hands in solidarity and say, no more will I see young brown faces. No longer will I see young girls exploited, trafficked, taken advantage of. No longer will I big up my homeboys for having a harem of girls that he's running through. When are we gonna say enough is enough? When are we gonna protect our young sisters from these young men who are destroying them, who are still living under Jim Crow, who still living under the Willie Lynch letter, who still have a slave mentality? It's time to break the yoke. It's time to stop being fools for the world. All of these young black men talking about the white man ain't doing this, white man ain't doing this. Well, you still drinking his Kool-Aid. You still playing by the playbook that he wrote during slavery. We still got a buck mentality. But ladies, it's not just the men. When are you gonna have some self-respect? When are you gonna have some self-esteem? When are you gonna trust God that everything out there ain't for you? That he has somebody called to you, but he can't get them to you because you keep spreading yourself for everything that walks by. So you're no longer pure and holy for God's use. Men only act the way they act because you respond to their foolishness. Respond to respectful men. Respond to educated men. Respond to men who trust God, and watch how these boys decide to imitate what it means to be a man of God, because Adam followed Eve to destruction even though he knew who God was. So it lets you know that men will follow a strong woman. But are you going to be a strong woman for Christ? Or are you going to be a strong woman that imitates the world and you're going to eat the bread of sorrow? It's time out for foolishness. And I just need one or two who will walk with me, who will stand in the gap, so God don't have to destroy what we're working so hard to build. Do I have any Adams in the house today? Amen. Do I have any Adams in the house today? Because if this was a football game, Adam would be up on his feet. Adam would be making himself known. Amen. Adam would be standing strong in the gap, because you have sisters, brothers, cousins, children that are depending on you. Amen. To be strong, to be steadfast, to be honorable, to have a plan to ensure them a future. But what are we doing to provide that? How are we teaching the next generation? What are we putting in place to provide an avenue for our next generation to grow? The world has a great plan for them. It has a marketing plan that is working year after year, day after day, and they're falling lockstep into it. What is the body of Christ putting together? What plans have the body of Christ come together to to put out there on a mass campaign for the world? How are we combating against the enemy's plan? Are we speaking life into our daughters? Are we speaking life into our sons? Are we protecting our wives? Are we protecting our children? Are we standing for something other than our own personal gain? When do we say enough is enough? And we decide that I'ma take the lashes. I'ma take the butt whooping. I'ma hold this gap until another man comes to help hold me in place and relieve me. If you gotta do it by yourself, you gotta do it by yourself until another man sees that this man is for real. That this man is gonna stand. And he's taking a beating for me because I'm too much of a coward to step up. When do we take authority? In the environment that we control. And as we go into this fast, you need to be thinking about your position as men in the body of Christ. Because if you don't want the position, then give it up. They got great surgeries for men who want to be women. They got great surgeries for men who don't want to be in their place as men. Please don't ruin the lives of women who are looking for solid men. Because you want to play and dance around life. You get one shot at it. We get one shot at life. And it needs to be a life well spent. It don't matter that we may be starting late, but we can be so impactful from this day to our last day. So forget about yesterday. Paul was a murderer. But after he found Christ, the most dynamic apostle that has ever walked the face of this earth. So God can redeem the time. God can restore your name. And your name goes from murderer to mighty man of God. You can be seated. And ladies, we need y'all help. Men, we're tired of being beat down. We're tired of being put down. We're tired of being treated like nothing. Especially the ones who work hard, who attempt to be who God has called us to be, and the foolish rebellion that's in your heart. See, you won't go back into Genesis and read that the curse was that he's going to put the desire to usurp authority in the heart of every woman. That was a part of the curse. But we can combat the curse with the blood of Christ. And also, just some common knowledge understands that the enemy's plan is to whisper into your ear to get to your husband so he can get him off track.